Broadcasting live from the Auto Fair Studios on The Pulse. This is New Hampshire Today. Grant Bossy filling in for Jack Heath. We're going to take from now till the top of the hour and talk a little about Northern Pass and New Hampshire's energy grid and where we get the power to keep our lights on. Martin Murray is a spokesman for Public Service Company of New Hampshire. Martin, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Grant. I appreciate the opportunity.
First, let's clarify PSNH, Northern Pass, Northeast Utilities, Hydro-Quebec, how does that Venn diagram work?
Sure. Well, let's start with PSNH. Most residents of New Hampshire are PSNH customers. About more than 70% of the state are hooked up by a wire to PSNH. We deliver the energy. People are actually free to purchase energy from an independent supplier if they wish to. So that's PSNH. We've been around since we incorporated in 1926, and most people are pretty familiar with us. We are part of a larger corporation, which is Northeast Utilities, which recently merged with NSTAR, a Boston-based utility. So Northeast Utilities is the sole partner to Northern Pass LLC. That's a New Hampshire licensed corporation that has a proposal to build and to operate a transmission line stretching from the Canadian border to Deerfield. That's what Northern Pass is. Hydro-Quebec, to jump ahead a little bit, comes into the diagram in that there's an agreement between Northern Pass and the separate HQ to give Hydro-Quebec the right to move its product, energy, into the New England grid. By selling them that right, Northern Pass will recover its investment with a return. Hydro-Quebec has to recover its capital by selling its product into the New England marketplace.
Why does it make economic sense to take hydropower from eastern Canada and bring it down to New England?
Did you say economic sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the importation into the New England power grid of hydropower from Canada was actually a recommendation more from an environmental bent than an economic one by the Governor's Commission that was looking a couple of years ago at how are we going to reduce our carbon footprint. They came up with 67 recommendations. One of them specifically was to import hydropower and wind power from Canada. That grant was really the genesis of this. Because of that demand, if you will, for that product, Hydro-Quebec began to look, and Northern Pass with Northeast Utilities began to look at, is there a business opportunity here to meet that demand? And from an economic point of view, from their perspective, Hydro-Quebec has to be convinced that they can produce that product, move it into the market, sell it, and get their money back. So that's the economic perspective from the corporations. In terms of the customer, the end user, this project can make a significant difference in terms of the energy market here in New England, because we are all one big regional power grid. And as I think you know, the price that we all pay for power here in New England is based on what does it cost. The various sources of generation, hydropower, nuclear power, natural gas, collectively, what do they all cost for us? And if we can lower that cost at the marketplace, we're going to pay less at the meter at home. And it's been demonstrated from an economic study that by putting more Canadian hydropower into the marketplace, it will lower the energy price that you and I would otherwise pay.
Now, the market works as you've got purchase power agreements in place that say we will buy a certain amount of power from you and from you and from you, but for the day's market or for the spot market, you go out there and you find out the cheapest kilowatt you can get for that day or that moment in time. Now, the marginal cost sets the rate, right? So if you can provide it at 3 cents, but the you need to buy it up to 5 cents, then we pay you 5 cents.
Yeah. Well, more or less, to try to dumb it down for the average person like you and I and the listeners, basically at the New England level, The operator of the New England Power Grid, ISO New England, determines on a day-to-day, even an hour-to-hour price basis, what is it costing to produce the power that we need at this one moment in time? And they can order generators on or off depending on the demand. And they do put the most economic sources in that power bucket at one time. So that's why I say if we put Hydro-Quebec power gets into the bucket of power that we need, Grant, something else is not going to be running. Something more expensive is going to be out of that bucket. The people dipping into that bucket for the power are, on a long-term basis, you're right, that we work with suppliers, wholesale suppliers and others, or we generate our own power and look at it on a long-term basis. But also, on an hour-to-hour basis, you might need more power than you had contracted for. We might have, you know, a contract for X number of megawatt hours of power, but if suddenly it, you know, it's 100 degrees out there and the air conditioners are running, we need a lot more power than we might have had contracted. And that's when the operators say, okay, let's fire up those more expensive generating units. And they're more expensive, and you got to pay more. You and I have to pay more for them.
New Hampshire right now relies a lot on natural gas. That's the marginal power source right now where we decide that that sets the market.
Right.
And you've got some comments. PSNH has got some comments in today's Coos County Democrat. Edith Tucker writes, New England's increasing dependence on natural gas concerns PSNH. Now, natural gas prices are they're really low right now. I mean, it's meant lower rates for everybody. And even as gas prices go up, electricity rates are still down a little. What's the downside to all this cheap natural gas?
Right. And you started out by saying New Hampshire relies on it. It really is. It's a regional issue. New England relies on it. More than half of the energy that's produced that we consume here in New England on a day-to-day basis is produced now from natural gas generators. The reason for the concern, Grant, is that it doesn't matter what the source is, whether it's natural gas or coal or nuclear. If you have more than half of the energy that you rely on coming from one single source, that has to be a bit of a concern. Diversity is good, so are low rates. Right now, natural gas is priced very low. That's a good thing, but we're relying on it for more than half of the energy that we consume. That might be a bit of a concern. And the reason for that goes to another item that's in the article that you mentioned, and that's a chart that was produced with figures from the regional operator. The price volatility of natural gas is pretty incredible. It's low right now, but there's really, in our view, there's really only one direction it can go from here, and that's up. So the question is, when will it go up? How much will it go up? What happens if there's a disruption in one of the very few pipelines that we have coming into New England? So there's reason to be concerned whenever one fuel is very dominant, and that's the situation we see ourselves in today.
A lot of the controversy over Northern Pass, at least in the New Hampshire legislature this year, was over the issue of eminent domain and whether projects like this would be allowed to use eminent domain to basically get the right of way to build the power lines. As I understand it, there's 40 miles in New Hampshire's North Country where there aren't existing power lines and existing right of way. So you're getting that extension cord from, you know, the Grafton County to Canada through Coos County, that's the really controversial part right now. Where is PSNH Northeast Utilities at in terms of acquiring the land, the right of way to do to run these power lines, if approved by the, I don't know how many federal agencies need to approve it. If you get approval, where are you getting the land and showing people, no, we're not going to take anybody's land for these power lines?
Well, to answer your question, we're in pretty good shape. You're right. We have 140 miles of existing rights of way within which we can build Northern Pass from Deerfield up to about the Groveton area. North of that area, there are power lines, but there are no transmission rights of way. So we had initially, when we made this proposal initially, we had proposed a specific route. The public meetings were held by the Department of Energy. We heard loud and clear that people did not agree with the proposal that we had made. So just about a year ago this month actually, we amended the application for the presidential permit that's necessary to cross the international border. The DOE is overseeing that that application process. We amended it. We basically said, forget that first proposal. We'll go back to the drawing board. We'll look for a new route to propose in the North Country. We're in pretty good shape. What we've been doing, because this is what we heard from the people of the North Country and elsewhere, is we have gone out and talked to landowners, and we have purchased land or we have purchased easement. With those purchases, we will have the legal ability at that point to construct a right-of-way, 150-foot right-of-way, and place the project within that right-of-way. And by the way, one thing I wanted to clear up, you know, is that with a new right-of-way in the North Country, the average height of structures in that area will be between 80 and 90 foot tall. Some people mistakenly believe that the structures in that area of the state will be 130 to 135 feet tall. That's not the case because with nothing else in that right-of-way, there is no obstruction to get around. With a new right-of-way 150 feet wide, you can have a structure at a height of 80 to 90 feet, and that's what will there will be predominantly in that area.
The tallest power lines that people are talking about in this project, as I understand it, is because you have existing power lines there, you have to build up.
In some areas, or you might be doing a corner, for example, you might need a different height, or the contour of the land might change. You might only need a 90-foot structure, but if the land next to it goes dips down, you might need a taller structure in order to attain the same sky height. So the height can vary. In most cases, the structures will be 80 to 90 feet tall.
Martin Murray from PSNH, thanks for joining us, giving us an update on Northern Pass. We'll hear from the other side, Will Abbott from the Forest Society. They don't like Northern Pass, and they'll tell us why coming up on New Hampshire Today.